And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. Get ready, get set. Oh, you're already gone. So I hope you enjoyed the month of May because it's almost in your rearview mirror now. Anyway, we are having a great week. This is a very, very memorable season for me. Do you know that I can tell you exactly what I was doing on May the 31st a long, long time ago? I can, it just brings back, memories of great food and, other humorous events and things like that. And, the month of May is a very, enjoyable, month for us. Lots of celebrating that goes on. And, we'll carry that over into the month of June as well with lots of great events going on. So, like to take this minute here to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We have Sunday school at 9:30, and I preach the worship service at 10:30. Actually, this week, I'm not sure I'm preaching. I think I'm not preaching this week. I've got a guest speaker this week, and so an evangelist that's been with us a number of times through the years, and he's the one that's filling the pulpit. So I tell people, don't have events at the first part of the month, because sometimes first part of the month can sneak up on you and you may not have flipped a page on your calendar yet. So anyway, we're going to have a great service Sunday morning, and pray that you will come and be a part of that. Let God touch your heart and refresh you so you can be of utmost effectiveness for God and his kingdom. So today we are going to touch on something in God's word, has to do with teaching. And I don't know that anybody ever shared anything like this when I was growing up, but I found it would have really been helpful in my life. And so I'm going to take you to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah, it's chapter 13. So if you find the Gospel of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, you go back one book, that's the book of Malachi, and then you go back just maybe a page or two, and you will find the book of Zechariah. Zechariah's got 14 chapters. We're going to the 13th chapter. So that's where we are going to be. And I'm going to read three verses here out of this passage. And it says in verse number 4, "And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, but he will say, 'I am no prophet, I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.' And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" Now, let me start off by saying that this is one of those messianic prophecies that when you're reading it in the Old Testament, you wouldn't think of it as being a messianic prophecy until you read the Gospels and see the things that happened to Jesus, and you realize that this is a passage that has to do with Jesus' betrayal through Judas. So what's being described here in Zechariah chapter 13 is that there will come a time, and God is still speaking through prophets. God is still longing to interact with people, but the people are unwilling to receive the message and will make life extremely uncomfortable for those who are proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. And so it starts off here talking about prophets and that they would be ashamed of their vision and they would put away their prophetic clothing. Let me say this because a lot of people minor on majors and major on minors. By majoring on minors, I will tell you this, that prophets, many people focus on the fact that they are foretelling future events. And that is true. That is something that they do. But the major emphasis that a prophet has is calling people who have departed from a relationship with God, people who are on the edge of God's judgment, and prophets go and say, God is giving you another opportunity. He's inviting you back into relationship with Him. This is a thus saith the Lord. This is not a thus saith Bob. Get your heart right with God. So when you look at everything that is going on a national and international scale, I am of the opinion, not that there's ever a good time to be playing games with your faith, but this is certainly no time to be playing games with your faith. And so I want to step up and serve the role of the prophet today and say, get your heart right with God. Get your spiritual house in order, because when Jesus does return, and I believe He will, there's not going to be one of those things. Well, okay, I can just run and maybe grab hold of the hem of His garment as He's ascending on the way up. That's not going to be the way that works. The rapturing of the church, the catching up and the catching away of the church, is something that happens in a split second. And so you got to be ready. Your family needs you to be ready. And so that's the context of this particular passage. Well, what does this have to do with God's instruction process? Well, when they tell that to the prophet responds, I'm no prophet. In other words, they will be functioning in an undercover capacity. They're not going to be very blatant about their spiritual call, their spiritual ministry. But instead, the response is this: I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. So the thing that, and I'm going to show you this in several places in the scripture, and that is this. Church is a spiritual place, that is true. But we also need to make sure that people are equipped with skills that are going to be able to provide for their family in very difficult seasons. And so you need to have practical skills. So when Adam and Eve had children, one of them raised livestock, one of them raised crops. You go on and you read about people, and there were people who became blacksmiths. There were people who were farmers. There were people who were warriors. There were people who were administrators. There were people who were musicians. There were people who had all sorts of skill sets. The first person to be mentioned to be filled with the Holy Spirit, specifically and blatantly to be described as being filled with the Spirit, was the person who built the temple or the tabernacle and the furniture thereof. And there were two guys. God gave them the skill to do that. And so there were people who built ancient cities and things like that. Here, Zachariah says, I'm a farmer. So he was probably a farmer and was taught how to keep cattle by his father before he was called to be a prophet. I'm just stating, you know, that's a possibility there. And so I would ask you, what skills do you have? What skills could you put to use for the glory of God? So I pastor the church full time now, but for a lot of years, I worked another job. There were times in my ministry when I sold items at a flea market on top of teaching in a small Christian school, on top of ministering in a church. So those were things that I had to do. There have been times when I sold shoes. That's actually what brought me to Florida. Turns out I was pretty good at it. And just about every place I ever had a job, not every place, but most of the places, I ended up eventually being in charge. So I not only had the skill set to do jobs, but I also had the leadership and the administrative capabilities that needed to be utilized as well. And so this guy happened to have been raised in a household where they taught him how to take care of livestock. So several years ago, I was at a ministers meeting. It was our general counsel. They were having a conference before the conference, and they gave several people a few minutes to speak. And this was the first time that I could ever recall this happening. They invited a person from a small country church who would preach for these very few minutes. And at that point in time, life was pretty difficult in large cities. You know, there was a storm that came through New York, I believe it was, and large metropolitan area, and I think it was called Superstorm Sandy. And it got really difficult up there because all of a sudden you don't have power, and lots of people are impacted by that. So they invite this guy up, and he said, for those of you who are living in cities, I want to invite you on out into the country, and you can serve in a church out in the country, and the folks out there they'll teach you how to thrive when the natural supply chain of the commercial enterprises is running into kinks. We'll teach you how to grow your own food. We'll teach you how to hunt and teach you how to fish. And he just went on and on and on. And it was, I think he was just absolutely incredible. Can't remember his name, but the group of ministers was very, very supportive and encouraging. So I think a lot of times we forget that we need to teach practical skills, because life is not all spiritual. It is body, it is soul, it is spirit. You should be able to have a skill set. So I bought and refurbished a house over in the area where my daughters were going to school. It wasn't that it was an expensive house. It was actually a very inexpensive house that needed some work. And so there's skill sets that I've had to develop through the years. So there's things that don't intimidate me about the construction process. If you turn back a few books to the book of Amos, so it's Hosea, Joel, Amos. So Amos chapter 7. Let me make sure that I get the right spot here. In verse number 7, it says, thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. The Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. So God is able to use our practical giftings, and then he is able to set us up to be used for a spiritual purpose as well. Wherever you are in the process, you are to be faithful. If you will be faithful with that which is another man's, God will give you something that you can be faithful over that is entrusted to you. So wherever you are at, be faithful. It is not just called of us to be faithful in our spiritual matters, but to be faithful in our occupational matters as well. So here you have a person that is described as a king. You have another person that is described as a priest. You have a person who is identified as a prophet. And he said, but I wasn't a prophet, and I wasn't the son of a prophet. In other words, this prophetic gifting that I am operating in is not something that I came about to have because of genealogical connections. In other words, prophecy is not the family business. He said, I was a sheep breeder. I took care of sheep, and I also took care of the fruit of the sycamore tree. And so there were a lot of things in which Amos had demonstrated faithfulness, and God said, I want to use you to call an ungodly king in a rebellious nation. I want you to call them back into relationship with me, because they're pursuing an ungodly course, and it's not going to end well for them. The role of the prophet is actually, whenever that person shows up, it is merciful to call them back into relationship with God. But the king didn't want to hear it. He said, look, this is my house, and this is the royal residence, and you're not going to prophesy here. Go someplace else and prophesy. And I tell you that whenever a society has tried to trespass God and say, God, this is the boundary, you cannot cross this line, that society is setting itself up for a very difficult and challenging season. So, some of the other people throughout the scriptures, we're going to go to one more passage. You've got several. The disciples were fishermen, and as such, they were not exposed to the upper echelon of learning that many of the elite were privileged to get there. But you know what they had? They had spent time with Jesus, and so when they were called to give an account of themselves, the people took note that they had done just that. They had been with Jesus. So Let me read to you Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what this describes is that the family dynamic in the ancient world was that kids were trained in every aspect of the family business. They weren't raised as just inheritance individuals. They weren't just raised as heirs that were completely distanced from the realities of work or anything. They had to learn every aspect. And so Joseph was a carpenter. So if you are going to be a carpenter, you are going to have to know how to find wood. You're going to have to know how to find clients. You're going to have to know how to build a product. You're going to have to know how to build that product better than other people can build it. You're going to have to know how to deal with employees. Some upper level societies, they had multi-layered layers of accountability. So they would have a steward and they would be over different people and things like that. And so they were exposed to every aspect. And so the children of the family, they would end up working right alongside everybody else who was involved in that business. And so the only difference was when they went home at night, they went to a nicer house and things like that. But one day they would be working in one division, and then at some point in time they would move into another division. And so they would get a full scope of the family business. And at one point in time, the business would eventually pass on to them, and they would put all of those skills. But it wasn't until that time of promotion or that time of entrustment that all of a sudden they realized, oh, there's something different about me. Because there were children and slaves, there were guardians, and there were stewards that were put in place to make sure that the full development took place. So I told you that Joseph was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. The other apostles, they were fishermen. I'm sure that there were some seamstresses and things like that through the years. And I just believe that everybody is gifted by God in certain areas. And because our society has a very diverse economy, there's all sorts of skill sets. Now, here's what I found. There are times of good economies and times of challenging economies. And in good economies, you may not excel at everything. So you might be able to slide. A few years ago, there were people and they were posting videos that said, man, I am making all of this money. I work at this company. I literally have no responsibilities. I come in, I punch the clock, and I don't do anything throughout the entire day. And they thought, man, I have found Easy Street, and man, it is just the greatest thing, except for when the company got sold and they realized what the previous management didn't, and that was this, that a lot of those people were not supporting the company. The company was supporting them. So if there are young people, first of all, you need to have a spiritual skill set. You really do. You need to know God. You need to know God's word. Knowing God's word will help you be better at your job than people who don't know biblical ethics and what God expects out of you. I told the class when I was teaching it, you know, a long, long time ago, I said, look, if you will apply yourself, if you will be a person of character, a person of hard work, you will know your craft and do it well, you are going to be worth your weight in gold. That was in the 1980s. Let me tell you about 2024. If you will know God and know God's word, if you will develop the skill set and be good at your job and be able to be divinely placed by God for such a time as this, that you will be a blessing to your employer, you will be a blessing to the kingdom of God, and you will be a blessing to your family and to the church. So I would encourage you. One of the things that we did several years ago is one of the ladies in our church called and said, Pastor, I have a flat. It's like, okay, we can take care of that. And so what we did is we took the youth group down. It wasn't far away. We took the youth group down and we taught them how to change a tire. It was a supervised trip. It was like one block or two blocks. We walked down there and we taught them how to change a tire. You know why? Because one day they may need to know how to change a tire. Let me tell you about what I believe about Jesus and his being raised in a carpenter's home. He said in Matthew chapter 16 that I will build my church. And he builds things well. He is a master craftsman. He knows how to build people. He knows how to heal people. He's a great physician. He is our shepherd. He's our king. He's our coming king. And so whatever industry you find yourself in, I encourage our people to make sure that you invite Jesus to go to work with you, because he knows how to solve problems that you don't. One of the men in our church, great guy, extremely gifted, knows how to do just about everything. And he was working on a car one time, and he couldn't figure out how to solve this problem. And he worked on it, and he worked on it. He said, I'll be back. And he left. He went. He prayed, said, God, I need you to help me to figure out how to solve this. And God did. Very, very quickly. And he said, to God be the glory. Great things he's done. Go out and learn a skill. Use it for God's grace.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Wayland.com. Wayland Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchase.